Join me in the book of Colossians now, Curtis, if you would. Thank you. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasure of what wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I do pray the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. If you would join me back at the latter half of verse 2, where it says he is praying for their hearts to reach all the riches of full assurance. There are many scholars who would say that that is the one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith, is that we would have full assurance. Full assurance that we are in Christ Jesus. As I prayed here in the prayer of confession and assurance, as I've mentioned it time and again, that idea, that fact, that we have the assurance of the gospel message in our lives, and there is nothing or anyone that can take that from you. When Daniel and Kelly stood up here just a few moments ago and with me and with the session and made that profession of faith, made that statement of faith that they are believers. When Ava stood and Braylon stood here giving that testimony that they believe in Jesus Christ and they have that assurance, please let us all teach them and ourselves that that can never pass away. That can never be taken from you. It doesn't matter what place in life you're in. It doesn't matter what illness might be a part of your history or your life. It doesn't matter what your context is. If you profess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and you acknowledge him as Lord, that can never change. That's what we're thankful for. That's what we're thankful for, is the full assurance. And then he adds the full assurance and the understanding of the knowledge of God's mysteries, which is in Christ. I could stand up here for weeks on end speaking of the mystery of Christ, but it's simply to be said in this way, that the mysteries of God have been revealed in Jesus Christ. And as a believer, you do know that mystery. What Paul is speaking about is to the non-believer, the idea of Christ, the teaching of Christ, the person of Christ, the Godhead of Christ is mysterious to them. Why would we worship a Jewish carpenter that lived 2,000 years ago? That's illogical. But yet in Christ Jesus do all of the mysteries of the Godhead and all wisdom and knowledge exist. So when you know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, not only do we have the assurance of salvation, we have all of the wisdom and all of the understanding and knowledge that is contained in Christ Jesus. And so it's not a mystery to us. It's not a mystery to us because the Holy Spirit has opened my eyes and opened my ears, your eyes and your ears, so that you understand why we worship a Jewish carpenter that lived 2,000 years ago. Because he's God. Because he's God. That's what we're thankful for. That's what we're thankful for. Okay, now he goes on here and just a quick few things. Verse 5, he said, though I am absent, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order. How did our hearts rejoice when we saw Ava stand up and give a profession of faith? How our hearts rejoice when Braylon stands up and gives a profession of faith? When we, like you said, when we have one of our teenagers standing with her peers, acknowledging the faith and defending the faith. It's called apologetics. Defending the faith. We should rejoice that that is planted in there, but that the Holy Spirit has given the courage to stand and make and say those kinds of words. That's what we're thankful for. That's what we're thankful for. And he says, firmness of your faith. One of the conversations I had with Lynn, and I've had a couple of them, and others of you have too as well, I'm sure. Going through a thing like this is very challenging, very hard. We've seen Barbara, the endurance she's been through and her illness. We've seen others who have been ill. And one of my comments to them always is this. People are watching. And they're going to watch how you deal with this most tragic heartache, this challenge, this overwhelming thing. How are you going to respond? And as I told Lynn, I said, Lynn, you will have a good testimony of faith through this entire episode, and it will affect the people around you. And I pray it does. I pray it encourages. I pray it convicts. I pray it brings someone closer to Christ. That was my prayer when Marley passed away. Don't waste this. Use it. And let us stand firm in the faith, because people are watching. And if they see you go through this and go, well, Jill, how do you do that? How can you stand when everything, how can you do this, Delinda, when you've got this message about your dad? Because I know who Jesus is. And I have that assurance of faith. I have that good testimony. I have that knowledge planted in my heart and soul. And I'm thankful for that. We are thankful for that. Given this assurance, given this surety of our place and our state before God, it is not an end in of itself. To say that I have a good faith, to say that I have this testimony, those are good things, but that's not the end in itself. That's not the accomplishment. Paul goes on to say, he says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught. Remember the teaching? There's three things Paul mentions here. First of all, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, every one of you in this room who have professed Jesus Christ as Lord, he's speaking of that, but he's speaking of so much more. It's not just accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. It's accepting the ministry of Jesus Christ. Everything that is involved in his name, everything that is involved in his teaching, we receive that as a part of the wisdom and knowledge that undergirds our lives. Yes, I profess Jesus Christ as Lord. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Do we understand the full context of receiving Jesus Christ as Lord? As I stated in my Sunday school class several times, there's a whole lot of difference between Jesus Christ as Savior and Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus Christ as Savior is awesome. Saved us from a devil's hell. But many folks stop right there. But when you move to calling and identifying him as Lord, then he's not only there when you need him, he is there, Lord, always. Always and at all times. And here's Paul's point. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So let your life reflect the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm sure you do as well. I know folks that will profess Jesus Christ as Savior, and they kind of do the Christian thing when in these kinds of circles. But when they're out in the world or they're in their workplace, then you hear the crude jokes, you hear the gossip, you hear the language, and you hear how they treat other people, and you go, really? Really? You profess Jesus on Sunday, but you don't live with him on Monday. See, this is what Paul is saying. The assurance of the wisdom, the assurance of what we have in Christ Jesus, it should be that light. It should be reflected in all we do, all we say, how we treat our loved ones, how we treat people we don't know. Walk in that light. Walk in that faith. You're thankful for this? Okay, walk like it. Live like it. Live like we are thankful. Then he says, also rooted and built up. Now, as we've been talking on Sunday night, this is covenantal language. We're a covenantal people. The covenant God made with Abraham so long ago is the covenant that we stand in today. So we are rooted in that covenant. We are rooted in the language where God says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And that will never change. So now we're rooted in that foundation. Let us grow and be built up in that foundation. Not looking for another way to live, not looking for another truth, not looking for some other alternative or an addition to. You know, some want to go Jesus and. That doesn't work. Another surprising thing I see from time to time is Christian individuals who promote Christianity, but yet on their Facebook page or on their website, I see them quoting pagan religions. I see them with statements about being a good person that the Dalai Lama has promoted. Folks, those are of Satan. There's nothing Christ-like about any of those pagan religions, and so we should not have association with those. If we're rooted in a covenant God, let us be built up and live in a covenant God and be thankful for the strength and the power of that covenant that God actually made with himself. And we are the beneficiaries of. Rooted in the faith, be built up. And he says, establish in faith just as you were taught. Teaching. I have several teachers in the room who do it by profession. But every person in this room is a teacher as well. We should desire a greater knowledge. Not that knowledge saves, but the knowledge of the Savior. We should thirst for a deeper understanding of who Christ Jesus is. We should thirst for a deeper understanding for what God's promises are to us. We should yearn for someone to stand and teach us the depths and the wisdom and the wonder of Jesus Christ from point A to point Z, the history, the prophets, the poetry, the promises, the parables, everything. And we should desire. Because what Paul is talking about here is when you gain a deeper knowledge, you gain a deeper understanding of who Christ is, that strengthens your faith. When you gain a deeper understanding of who Christ is, who God the Father is, and the work of the Holy Spirit, that deepens our faith. That digs those roots in deeper into that covenant language. And as Paul teaches here, the deeper we are, the better we're taught, then we will not be moved. He calls it deluded by false prophecies, false teaching. How do you know how to identify false teaching? If you don't know the truth, you won't know what's false. I'm so thankful that God has called me to be a teaching pastor. There's different ministry types, different preaching styles, etc. He's called me to be a teaching pastor. My sermons are different than most. I pray they're teaching. John says in chapter 3 that that salvation begins with a knowledge of God. You can't be saved by someone you know nothing about. You can't grow in someone that you know nothing about. So we're thankful for the teaching. We're thankful for the teaching because that deepens our faith. The question Lily asked, how does Jesus get people to heaven? I mean, that's incredible. That's incredible. What's going on in her extended family right now? That's a question that they're going to have to talk about. And so now she has a little bit more understanding that someone her age can understand. But how could we have a good statement of faith and a good testimony if we don't hear the message? How will they come to know if there's not one who preaches? And so we're thankful. We're thankful. Now, let me give you the real reason I came to Colossians chapter 2. It is this thankfulness. But if you go with me to verse 2, as I was looking through the scriptures and praying, this is what caught my eye. He says, verse 1, he's struggling. Paul is burdened that the people of the Colossian church would be encouraged. He says that their hearts may be encouraged. I am burdened with that for you. Wherever you might find yourself, I am burdened with that for you, that you would be encouraged in what we've talked about here and that you would grow in that encouragement in Christ Jesus. But here's what drew me to this: being knit together in love. When I read that statement, I saw New Sterling. When I read that statement, I thought of the people of New Sterling, because that's us. That's us. We are knit together in love for each other because God first taught us. He first loved us. And so reflecting that love back to Him in worship is first. But reflecting that love to each other, that's paramount. The Apostle John, in his last days of ministry, it's kind of jokingly said that they got tired of his sermons. Because every sermon was, love one another. Love one another. Love one another. And while I don't want to hurt my arm patting us on the back, we do. We do. We do love one another. And we take care of each other. We pray for each other. We provide for each other. We uphold each other. Encourage each other. As Scott and Delinda commented here about what you have done for Lynn. How many of you have prayed Barbara, thank you. I kept wanting to say Betty. We pray for her too. We pray for her. We'll pray a bunch of people. But it's because we love. And folks, you cannot replace that. You cannot have anything greater than the love of God and sharing that love with each other. And we all do it in different ways. I'm not going to do it like you do it. And you're not going to do it like I do it. But we love. And the people need to know and understand that we love one another. And that is what I'm most thankful for. Is that I am in a church body that most people who visit here and come, when they walk through those doors, to a person almost, I can tell such a difference about that congregation at New Sterling. Other churches have it as well. But we are knit together tightly because we love one another. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your love for us and how we share that love for and with each other. In Jesus' holy name, amen.